Happy Wednesday, everybody. You know it's a happy Wednesday when you're going to Walt Disney World tomorrow. I can't wait to get out of here to go hang with my friends Buzz, Woody, Jesse, and Bullseye. Going to be a great time, but first we got some listener questions, including a great question from listener Katie about what to do on the day of the Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party. How do you fill the afternoon and morning? We're going to talk about that and much more. First, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days2Go WDW. Days2Go lets you count on the days till that next Walt Disney World vacation with style. And right now, guys, I'm smiling because of my look. I'm looking down at my iPhone 7. This is the greatest number to see. One day to go until we head to Lambert International Airport. Head on that Southwest jet. Check out Toy Story Land Thursday and Friday. It opens on Saturday. We're going to have a great time down there for 2 weeks. 5 reservations, Grand Floridian, Yacht Club, Coronado, Riverside, staying at Coronado actually twice. It's going to be amazing. I cannot wait to get down there. Every time I look at my phone, I see great pictures. I have my countdown, one day to go. Let me remind you, it's awesome. Grab this app, turn your Apple device into a Disney device right now over at virtualmickey.com. Also, please support the show when you do your online shopping. Anytime you drop by Amazon, please click through our Amazon affiliate link. Bookmark it on all your devices. Easiest way to support the podcast. It's BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1347 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Allman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. So check that out if you need a little Disney fix in your day. It's great on all the listening devices, your Google Home, your Amazon Echo. You can just yell at it, tell it to play Magical Mouse Radio on TuneIn, and bam, you might be somewhere in Animal Kingdom, or, you know, maybe it's the pre-illuminations loop over at Epcot. It's awesome, so check that out today. But you're not here for that. You're here for great listener questions, and that's what we're going to give you. I have to get through today's show, because tomorrow I'm going down to Walt Disney World. I can't stand it. So let's get this thing out of the way. No, let's not get out of the way. I love doing this show, but man, I can't wait to get on that plane and go down to Florida. Anyway, joining me today to answer these listener questions, and surprisingly, she's going to be at Walt Disney World. She gave in. It's Ricky from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. We knew you would do it, Ricky. We had no doubt you were going to be there.
Here's all I can say. Peer pressure is real, people.
It is. It was self-imposed, though.
It was definitely self-imposed peer pressure. FOMO is real. I'm just saying. So I didn't want FOMO. So I decided that I needed to make a spur of the moment decision and head down to Walt Disney World this weekend. So I will be there for Toy Story Land. Woo! I won't be there for the media event, but I will be there for Toy Story. So I'm very excited. Yay. And I get to be with you guys, which I'm very excited about too. So, yeah. I mean, that's really more of the FOMO than actually Toy Story Land for me, but, you know, I wanted to be there for
everything. Who wants to see Buzz and Woody when you can see Mike and Pam? You know, I mean,
exactly. You two are, you know, like peanut butter and jelly. So I love it.
I love that. All right. So let me, we were talking about this before the show, Ricky, and we're getting into it. Of course, I'm sporting the buzz ears. If you're listening to the audio feed, obviously most people do, and you can't see that. So I'm really pumped for this trip. But what got me even more excited for this podcast was the love of our listeners. And so earlier this week, I get this. Mallory goes out to the mailbox and brings the mail in, and I get a letter, you know, a piece of mail here, and it doesn't have a return address. So I'm kind of, should I open it? Yeah, you know, I'm curious. I always open everything. I open it up, and it's a mysterious letter just thanking us for doing the podcast, and included 2 Taco Bell gift cards and a coupon to Gingham's like family restaurant here in St. Louis. No signature. So I don't, mystery listener, I love you. I love you. But I don't know who you are. But you are probably local because it was Gingham's, you know, so I think they're local.
That's true.
So I'm trying to figure it out.
All I can say is Ricky accepts Starbucks gift cards. I'm just saying. So.
Just saying, there'll be fuel in my fire here in about an hour and a half. All right. So anyway, joining us as...
Yes, there will definitely be fire, but there, that's another...
That's,
mind.
That's in 24 hours. Anyway, Rick, we have Pam Forrester joining us from the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday, Pam. What's going on?
Happy Wednesday. And I just wanted to say, we've received so many nice notes about our podcast recently. Just different little things that people have written in and said, hey, I love this, enjoy this, whatever. And I think I was just sitting here thinking about it this weekend because it was so weird because none of us are professional podcasters, or at least I was not until we came and did this.
Not until we started this.
I don't know that we can call us professional at this point either.
I don't either. But somebody
are podcasters, I guess, sort of by accident. Mike had a definite, like, you know, desire and, you know, some skill in this space. But anyways, and then... It's funny because one of the overwhelming things that so many people write about when they write to us about the podcast is they say, I love how you're so positive. And I thought that was really, really cool just in thinking about that. And we aren't, the funny thing about that was we aren't really positive because we don't ever disagree with something Disney does, or we don't think they make bad decisions or whatever. I think for us, what came first is that we were Disney fans. And true. So then when we look about things that we're going to talk about, there are so many things that we find positive about the experience that it's really easy to focus on those things that we find to be really positive and not reflect on the bad things. And not only that, but I mean, I don't know too many people who are planning to go to Disney who really want to listen to us complain about Disney and then still go to Disney. It just seems a little contrary. But anyways... I think the reason, I just wanted to point that out, that the reason isn't that we wear rose-colored glasses all the time or anything else like that. The reason is that there are so many things. We are unapologetically Disney fans. Unapologetically Disney fans first.
Well said.
And that there's so many positive things. So that's what we focus on. So anyways, love that. Love all of that.
Haven't slept for a week. I mean, that's the first thing, you know, like I'm so lucky now that I actually get to make my living working in the Disney hemisphere, you know, helping people plan vacations, which is a dream come true. But I mean, like you said, first and foremost, man, I have not slept for, well, part of it's the 2019 package release. I mean, clear, bring me back to life because I've been, you know, my fingers are nubs at this point, but I'm still going. But I mean, more than that, it's like Thursday, I get to go to my favorite place again. I get, you know, and I've been watching, instead of watching The Price is Right while I'm working in the, you know, in my office in the morning, I'm watching like walkthroughs of all the resorts and I can't get enough. I love it. I can't wait.
It is. It is. And that's what I think is so important. That's the takeaway from this is that even after all these years, I still get as excited, perhaps maybe even more excited as the trips come up. And it's just so cool. It's, you know, it's an easy thing to do to find something to like about Disney. So
well said. All right, let's get to the first question of the day. It's from Katie. He says, hi, Mike. My husband just surprised me this week by saying yes to a long weekend trip in Disney this October. I'm so excited, but as a result, we are a bit last minute for dining reservations as we're already past the 180-day mark. We're going to go to Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party one of the days, and we understand we can get into the park at 4 p.m. with those tickets. I was trying to find something to do, somewhere fun to eat before heading to the party. In one of the only ADRs I could find for a resort restaurant was for afternoon tea at the Garden View Tea Room. I'm wondering, have any of you on the Be Our Guest podcast team tried this place? Is it worth the money? I've been listening for a while and haven't heard you mention it, so I thought I'd ask. Thanks so much, Katie. Now, before we get to that answer, I just this brought up a memory, and this is another Be Our Guest podcast memory from years ago. I mean, years ago. Do you guys remember when we went to the Halloween party? This was, I think, the time I was Captain EO. I think we ate at Kona before the party. Was that? And there was a guy that was so drunk in there. He got up and stood on the table. He was dressed like Captain Jack Sparrow.
Yes.
And he was trying to, he was like taking, he had a sword and he was like wanting to like mutiny in the middle of Kona.
They had to take
They were taking the guy out. Yeah, they had to take the guy out. He didn't even get to go to the Halloween party, I don't think. So, yeah. Oh my God. I still remember that. That was like probably 8 years ago. Anyway.
Yeah.
So Pam, Katie's question. What do you think about the Garden View Room and the afternoon tea and all that, whatever she has.
Yes. So not only do I think that it's a good idea, but our group will be experiencing it because we have reservations there one day. Pinky's out. No, so the Garden UT is actually really fun. They have a lot of different things from which you can choose. A few of the options are one that include some tea sandwiches, which are really yummy. I just have to tell you this. They're good. Then it also includes scones, which are, if you've never had a scone with clotted cream, with Devonshire cream and some jam and whatnot, yum. So good. And then you get to pick desserts. So it's more than just tea. There's lots of things from which you can choose. You can also choose a cheese plate if you prefer. There's lots of good food there. And we always really enjoy ourselves. And where else can you get afternoon tea? Not too many places. So it's fun.
I think that's too. That's the challenge of, like, with a Halloween party, you can. Well, it's not a challenge. It's actually a blessing because you can go and you can have a chill day up till the party because you're going to be out late and the party's fun. But that's a great opportunity to sleep in, have a pool day. Go to a resort, have a late lunch, early dinner. Because the thing is, you don't want to waste your time having a big dinner during the party. You know, you probably want to grab a burger, maybe split some fajitas or something at Pecos Bill's. You know, if you get hungry, say 9 o'clock, because you got to have like candy. Fourth and fifth meal or candy. Yeah, candy. That's it. That's true. You're right.
Well, if it's anything like last year, though, they brought out last year at least they introduced a whole smattering of different pastries and things like that for people to enjoy during, specifically during the Halloween party. There was a pumpkin like mousse at Gaston's Tavern that I tried, and those terrible, terrible Hall of Presidents Haunted Mansion portrait room desserts. Those were awful. Don't get those if they have those this year. But they had a bunch of desserts that that you could enjoy throughout the parties too. So that might be something that you just snack around all the different things that they're going to have this year, because I'm sure. Sure, they are bringing back a bunch of those things this year, too. So,
all right.
Even though they haven't announced them yet.
Let's get to a question from Ashley here in the Facebook chat. Again, we're on Facebook, usually around 5:30 Eastern on Monday evenings. Not for the next couple of weeks because we're recording early, getting ahead. But when we get back from vacation, we'll be back on Monday nights. She says, thinking of booking my first Disney cruise. What are the most important things to know to get started? Pam, what do you say? If somebody's looking for that first Disney cruise, I would say the biggest thing for me is, there's not as much planning, near as much planning as a Walt Disney World vacation. Like, you pick a date, you have three basic choices for a stateroom. You have an inside, and on the bigger ships, you get that cool virtual porthole. You can get a stateroom with a regular porthole, or you can get a veranda. There's also concierge if you want to go that route. But, you know, pick a date, pick an itinerary, and then, you know, there's not a whole lot. You know, watch a lot of videos and just kind of sit back. It's a lot more hands-off. But what would you say, Pam?
Well, so the first thing, the thing that I think is the most important to note is with a cruise, the earlier you book, the best that you'll have access to the best pricing and the best availability. And that's how it works with Disney Cruise Line and a lot of other cruise lines in particular. As the ship fills up, the price increases for those very same staterooms that you could have gotten less expensively earlier on. So as soon as you pick a date, go ahead and get with a travel agent or call Disney Cruise Line and make those reservations so that you have something secured. I personally really prefer a veranda stateroom. Yeah, I know, big shocker, right? But I will tell you why. The first cruise we took was actually in a veranda stateroom. Once you do a veranda stateroom, it's very hard to go back.
That's my story. Yeah, I mean, my wife will not do it.
I'm trying it this time. I'm trying it here in September, and we'll see what'll happen with me. We'll see.
But my reason for that was that I just like, in my mind, knowing that I can open that door. It just does something for me mentally. I mean, of course, I love sitting out there and I love being able to enjoy the view and blah, 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 blah. But in addition to all those other things, I really liked the idea of being able to open that veranda stateroom if need be. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't have a fantastic cruise in an inside stateroom. You can. But sometimes have your agent compare a couple different categories so you know what the difference is going into it. Mm-hmm. I would also say, too, for my first cruise, I would like it to be at least 4 nights. I know, because the 3 nights go so, so quickly. Not that you can't have a good time, but it seems like you're just figuring out the ship and where everything is, and then it's time to go home. 4 nights just seems to give you a little bit of cushion. And on the 4-night cruises, then you can do stuff like book Palo brunch. Mm-hmm. And that, for me, I think that's a huge plus, being able to book that meal. And that's my another one of my tips. absolutely, if you can, enjoy some of those adult-only restaurants and activities, because Disney Cruise Line does them as well or better than many other cruise lines. So don't think that just because you're going on Disney Cruise Line that it's only for the kids. It's for the adults, too.
One other tip, too. I just did a podcast. It's going to come out on a Monday here in a couple of weeks with a guest who, you know, they did a land-sea honeymoon, and it was their first Disney cruise. They did a 3-night to the Bahamas and had a great time. But what her takeaway was that she felt like she didn't do enough research going in. Now you don't have to do a lot of things, but it's kind of good to know, like, in general, what kind of offerings they're going to be. You know, there's going to be shows each evening in the main theater. There's going to be movies, first run movies. There's going to be, you know, smaller activities put on by the cruise director staff, trivias, karaoke contests, game shows. And she felt like since it was a 3-night cruise that it went so quickly, and she wished she would have known those kind of things, because going on the fly for 3 nights was really, really a challenge. She felt like she missed a lot. So, you know, you can look around and find personal navigators from cruises that are running similar itineraries. They change them up, but they keep them pretty, you know, pretty stable. You can find a lot of the activities, you know. You might want to look into those things. So, Ricky, you're going on a cruise here in September, going to Canada.
I am.
What do you say?
I just booked I just hit the 90-day mark, so I finally got to do online check-ins. So that's my first tip. Once you get that cruise booked, make sure you know, since it would be the first cruise for you, it'll be at 75 days, but make sure you participate in online check-in. It allows you to expedite the process so you don't have to do as much when you get to the port, but it also allows you to pick the time that you arrive at the port, that kind of thing. And this is when you will be able to pick the excursions that you want to do, should you decide that you want to do them with Disney. The best thing I can do, or advice I can give, is especially because, like, with us, I've never been to Canada. I don't know a lot of, you know, exciting things to do in Canada. So we kind of did a little bit of research on YouTube and stuff like that to see what other people had done on their Canada cruises and stuff like that. But then we also went through the Disney listing of all their excursions that they had and looked at some of the things that they offered. We booked one of them through Disney. You don't have to book, like, every day, have an excursion planned. Like, you know, sometimes it's fun to go by the seat of your pants kind of thing. So I definitely wouldn't suggest having every day booked with an excursion. And that's something we didn't do. We only booked one day so far. There are a couple things that I'm still looking at that are listed on Disney Cruise that we may decide to do on our own. So it's just, you know, you kind of got to make that decision too. But you're going to have a really great time. I mean, honestly, cruising is so relaxing.
It's so addicting. It's amazing.
It is addicting. And I mean, you know, you're going to have a great time, and you're going to get to see parts of the world that you never thought you'd be able to see, which is kind of the great part about cruising.
If it wasn't for cruising, I would have never left the country, because that's the only time I ever have left the country. So it's fun. One last thing. I know this is kind of self-serving, but I mean, Pam gets it. You should book with a travel agent, because you're going to get an onboard credit that spends like cash.
Yes.
You know, it's going to be the same price booking directly through Disney Cruise Line. And you know what? It'll probably cover your Palo reservations. It'll probably cover maybe a spa treatment. You know, it's like, why not? So I happen to know a couple, so I'm just saying. All right, anyway, let's get to the next question. Let's see. It comes from Ricky. No, it comes from Jason. Good morning. I've been listening to your podcast for several months and love listening. I have a question for Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party. My family's going in September for 6 days. We have 6-day passes along with Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party 1 day. Our first day is the Halloween party, and we're curious, should we only do 5-day passes since we have the event in the evening? Walt Disney World hasn't given the times, but we're hoping for the early 4 p.m. party time. The kicker is we have Cinderella's Castle reservation at 4:30. As of right now, Disney hasn't announced when guests can arrive. Should we just keep the 6-day hopper passes, or possibly take the risk to lower to 5-day hoppers? Their recommendation is you can always add when you get there, you just can't lower. Since it's our first day at the parks, I want my family, 2- and 7-year-olds, to enjoy the festivities and not be so tired. Thanks so much for the great entertainment each week, Jason. All right, so here's my advice on the tickets. Now, here's the thing you got to consider, because I get this question quite a bit. Like, how long should my tickets be? Remember, you got to have the length of tickets if you want to make fast passes. So if you want to make fast passes for 6 days, you need 6 days worth of tickets. So that's your main concern there. The difference in cost between a 5-day and a 6-day park hopper ticket is very minimal once you get out that far. So you're not paying that much more for the 6th day, and you're going to get a full day in the parks if your schedule allows that. So I always say, you know, once you get to like 5, 6, 7 days, that extra day is a bargain. It's totally a bargain. The one thing you usually can for the Halloween party, get in at 4 o'clock. Between 4 and 7 is kind of a little free time there because the party officially starts at 7. If you have Cinderella's Roll Table at 4:30, I think you'll be fine. I mean, you're going to get to kick off the party the right way. You have a full belly, great meal. I don't know. Am I missing anything, Ricky? I mean, I would say just, you know, if you want to make the fast passes for 6 days, keep the 6 day hopper. If you don't worry about the fast passes for more than 5 days, you could always have that day when you get there if you need it. It'll be the same price.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. And they should let you in at 4. I mean, it's been that way for a very, very long time. So, you know, while it's not official out yet, they should definitely let you in at about 4. So, right. Also, kind of a funny story. Jason knows my brother. So, as we found out chatting on Facebook Messenger. So, okay. He kind of knows my brother. So, that's kind of cool. Yeah.
It's a small world.
It is. Yeah. He actually texted my brother. He's like, I didn't realize that your sister was on that podcast that I listened to.
That is funny. All right. Next question comes from Jenny in Dallas. Hey, Mike and the ladies, I have a question about our weekend trip coming up in August. We fly in first thing Friday morning. We're headed straight to Epcot and Hollywood Studios on Friday. Saturday is our Magic Kingdom day. Obviously, we're trying to maximize our time in the park because we only have 2 park days. Our big question is for Saturday. We're going to rope drop the Magic Kingdom. Then we'll take a midday break. We'll eat an early dinner somewhere on the monorail loop and then head back to the Magic Kingdom for fireworks and the Disney After Hours event. As we're trying to maximize our time in the park when we get back, we don't want to wait an hour for a good happily ever after spot. Would you suggest going to the dessert party? I know this is the craziest park day ever and it'll be super expensive, but it would guarantee our spot for the fireworks. We would want to head out immediately following fireworks to get to the Disney After Hours. Will we miss anything to do with the dessert party? Also, do you have any dinner recommendations for casual, relaxing places for 2 adults to grab dinner around the monorail loop? We're thinking of Territory Lounge, but would like your other ideas. Thanks, Jenny. First of all, I know that Jenny's a podcast listener because she just nailed Pam's suggestion of Territory Lounge right there. So
right?
We know you've listened. I'm going to throw in 2 other places, possibly The Wave or Kona, I think are good places. You could probably get ADRs easily, and those are good meals both on the monorail loop. What do you think about this? I mean, this is going to be a nuts day. They're going to rope drop Magic Kingdom and still do the Disney After Hours that night. Pam, I mean, what thoughts? This is a lot.
This is a challenging day. I'm just going to say this, right? I'm not sure that I want to come and be involved in this day. I think I may be tired and crabby by the end. But some people are so much better at this than I am. So I love it. I love the ambition here. I'll say that I actually really enjoyed the dessert party. And the one that we went to, we did the one where you had the desserts prior to the start of the fireworks, and they ushered you into the Rose Garden area, this little gardeny area, so that you had a great spot from which to watch the fireworks. And I loved it. I loved not having to jockey for position. I loved, getting some desserts right before did that. That was awesome. And having a place to sit down and eat them, too, because you got to eat them kind of up in that Tomorrowland Terrace area. So I really enjoyed that. So for that reason alone, I felt like I got my value, from this package. I really, really did enjoy it. If you book the one where you have the desserts before and then go to the viewing area, if you leave right after the fireworks are over, you won't miss anything.
Nope.
There's a new one now where you go to the viewing area first and then have the desserts after. If you were to book that one, then you would miss something because then you wouldn't get to do the desserts, and that's part of the deal.
That's 98% of the whole experience. You know, fireworks are fun and everything, but I mean, ice cream, cupcakes.
Exactly. And so I think, too, I would absolutely recommend the one where you go to the seating area or where you go to the kind of standing room area in the garden, as opposed to the one where you sit and enjoy the fireworks from Tomorrowland Terrace, because I feel you get a much better view of the fireworks, and it's definitely worth it. Is the dessert party critical? No, it's not. I mean, you can find good places even without it. But I just felt like it really enhanced our experience.
I totally agree. I mean, I think that you totally feel like the dessert party is a splurge. Not necessary. You'll still see the fireworks. You know what? And you can make your own dessert party. I mean, go to the ice cream parlor and get an ice cream and stand there. You're not going to have to wait to get a good spot. That's the whole thing is time is money. We've said this for years and years. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to have to invest time for a great spot for Happily Ever After or book the dessert party. And you have a guaranteed great spot. Nobody bugging you. So there you go. And have a good, let us know how that goes. That is a long, long day. But
it is. That's admirable. Fun,
that is. You should get a badge at the end of that thing. All right, Chris, whenever anybody in the Facebook chat starts their message with help, we have to go there. So let's see what it says. We're going down in July and have our first day in Hollywood Studios, knocking out everything early. And well, don't knock stuff out, but knocking out everything early and meandering, great big words, in Toy Story Land. We have a 7:45 fast pass for Slinky Dog. I like that we have a new attraction to talk about. We will take a midday break, but where should we eat with a table service credit before we come back to the parks? We're staying at Caribbean Beach and have our own transportation. So, Chris, I don't know if you're asking that where you should eat in the studios or just in general. So they have a 7:45 Slinky Dog in the evening. So I guess they're taking a midday break. So I guess they're eating before they go back to the park. They're at Caribbean Beach, so not great table service there. Will be probably in the future, I would say, but probably not yet. I'm trying to think. Ricky, what do you think? I mean, because really, you got your own car. You can go to any other resort. I mean, I wouldn't go to a theme park. I go to a resort, pretty close resort there. So Caribbean Beach is kind of in that Epcot. It's actually pretty close to Disney Springs, too, if you think about it. It's not very far. Give them some place to eat. They're hungry. Come on, before the show's over.
All right. So if they want to go to Hollywood Studios, I am going to suggest 50s Primetime. I think that that's going to be a really good option for them. I think they'll have a lot of fun, and it's just good food. And I think that's going to be the right choice. Gosh, as far as outside of Hollywood Studios, it does get tougher. I'm not going to steal Pam's. We're at Disney Springs. So I'm going to go, with another favorite of Pam's, and that is the Boathouse. I think that that's, a really good option. They've got a very varied menu. I don't know why I wanted to say variety menu. That's not right. kind of. And they've got a varied menu, and I think it's got something for everyone. So I'm going to go with the Boathouse at Disney Springs as my other option.
And I'm also like Tim's in our chat saying Disney Springs. I agree. You know, like, take that midday break, head over to Disney Springs, say 4 o'clock, meander around, and you don't have to pick something today. I mean, you could do Deluxe Burger, you could do Blaze Pizza, you could do Morimoto's Street Window. Pam, I mean, I think that's your best option there. Disney Springs.
Well, and she said she wanted to use a table service credit.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah.
The one thing to note is that Morimoto's for lunch is just one table service
credit.
That's
true.
But it's two at night. So you get a really fantastic meal there at Morimoto's if you like that kind of food. And again, look at the menus, make sure you get to, pick something there. The other thing is, I mean, this is a little out of the way, but we mention this place often. You could go over to Sanaa for lunch, and that would be a one credit option. It would also give you an excuse.
Yes. That's true.
To see Animal Kingdom Lodge, which is just stunningly beautiful and has so many things to do. So give one of those a try. Maybe you have a lot of good suggestions.
And Eric's chiming in the chat with Beaches and Cream, possibly, because think about it. If you're at the Epcot Air Resort, you're not very far from Hollywood Studios. So you also would have, you could do, not Captain's Grill, what's Ale and Compass, maybe? That's kind of a hidden place.
Ale and Compass, yeah.
You could do that. You could also do, I'm trying to think, Boardwalk, any place around there. ESPN, maybe? They take dining credits, I think. Well, I think it's only one. I know it's only one.
And the burger place, too. Big River.
Big River Grill, yes. All right, so here we got a question from Tara Fitzpatrick in the chat. Best holiday atmosphere in a restaurant, resort or parks or springs or both, looking at booking December reservations. So, Ricky, what says holiday atmosphere besides Trails End? Because it says everything to me. I'm just kidding.
Liberty that's Tree. Actually tough.
Liberty Tree.
Liberty Tree Tavern, but that was the only option I was thinking of that really says holiday.
Is there not like any restaurant at all that kind of has like some Christmas flair to it? I mean, are we missing something obvious?
They all have some great decorations. Like, think about 50s. It has that awesome tinsel tree put in the lounge, and they kind of really decorate for that. I love to see, you know, the decorations there. But other than that, it's hard to really think of like restaurants that have specific holiday decorations.
That is a tough one.
Yeah. Tim in the chat says Beer Garden at Christmas was great.
Really?
You got the Oompa Band, so maybe they play Christmas tunes. I don't know. I'm guessing.
I listen to a podcast, and maybe some of our other listeners do. It's Leo Laporte, and he has a guy on that's at the AV specialist every Saturday. And what he does, he's a tuba player. That's what he does on the side. Awesome. And so every Christmas, he gets together 99 other tuba players, and they do what's called Tuba Christmas. And they 100 tubas all at once playing Christmas songs.
Wow.
Yeah, out in L.A., so that's pretty cool. Off topic, but pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to our next email. It's from Sean about 2019 planning help, which is very timely for right now. It says, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. Mike, you previously helped me with the trip, and I ended up not being able to go on because my mother-in-law is battling cancer. But great news, the prognosis looks great, and we're planning for September of 2019. We're picking September to hopefully miss the craziness, which will be Galaxy's Edge, since it will be so many people and the first time for my parents. My wife and I still probably will try to sneak down solo once it does open. See, I like what you did with solo. I do plan on going through an agent because there will be 10 adults and a 1.5-year-old. And just typing that has added another gray hair on my head. My question is, I like that. I already have a trip planned for this September of 2018 and know that Disney usually offers attractive bounce back incentives. Are they strong enough where I should wait until I'm there to book, or should I book now? Complicating things is that we're looking at a family suite that is wheelchair accessible for my youngest sister, who suffers from cerebral palsy. I do not want to lose out on this because I can't imagine there are too many of these rooms available. Also, we plan on upgrading our tickets to annual passes this September, so if we do book early, will we be able to apply any annual pass holder discounts to our 2019 trip? Thanks so much. We've done 6 trips in the past 24 months, and I've used tidbits of the podcast for each trip. Love listening to you guys on my way to work. Sean is in Philly. Well, he says now Baltimore because they just moved there. All right, so Pam, talk about this, because I think the message I want to get out to guests, and you're more of an expert than I, because you know you have the company, but you know I say this, that 2019 is going to be a year that's going to be very different. It feels more accelerated to me than like the past 5 because of the Galaxy's Edge, which we now know is going to be late 2019. But still, I would say if you want something, book it now. That's just what I'm saying. And I'm not saying it because I'm a travel agent and that kind of stuff. But, you know, the thing about tickets and dining plans, this is what I tell guests. Those are basically unlimited. Like, you can't run out of tickets, and you're not going to run out of dining plans. You can add those onto any package. They're not scarce. However, there's a set number of rooms at Pop Century. There's a set number of rooms at Beach Club. You know, any resort you say. So if you don't have that room, it's once it's gone, it's gone. So for certain dates. So I say book early, but give me some expert advice here.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm absolutely with you. First of all, I'd like people to book early for so many different reasons. First of all, for packages, it's only a $200 deposit. You can make payments for a longer period of time. I think that helps people a lot of times with their budget to be able to continue to make payments. You have best access to the availability and the room type at the resorts that you may want. And that is going to become important, especially in 2019. It's already become important in 2018, as we've seen different resorts and even resort categories become unavailable on certain days for certain specials. So that's important to keep that in mind. As far as the bounce back offer goes, what I would do is book what you want right now. When you're there, you can always call your travel agent and say, hey, I'm here now. I want to see if the bounce back offer is available on a reservation, you know, on different reservations. We can check the availability right then, and then we can either, you know, alter your existing reservation or transfer over to a new one, whichever one, you know, Disney allows us to do at that time. But so you aren't missing out by already having something booked. It doesn't hurt you to have that. We'll just make it work. And the same goes for any annual pass discounts. I mean, if you get an annual pass discount, and you later want to apply that to your existing reservation, we can do that as well. So it's easy peasy.
Absolutely. And I tell my guests, you know, to shoot me a text while you're there, you know, like you don't even have to call. Cause I know like you, we're getting away from it when we're down at Walt Disney World. I mean, I get that. That's what I'm looking forward to the most this coming week, but you know, like shooting a text while you're waiting in line for Space Mountain, that's a piece of cake. You know, hey, Mike, this, yeah, we're here. Can you check on that? You know, this is what we're looking at. This is our dates. Because that way you don't even have to pick up the phone. Because I know, you know, it's easier to send a text. So that makes it easy, easy.
Yep.
All right, let's get a you know, Vicky mentioned Whispering Canyon for the decked out Christmas decoration. That's probably, I mean, because the whole because you can see the Christmas tree. You know, like
the whole lot is awesome.
Yeah, it's good stuff. All right, so next question is coming from Kevin. Hey, guys, I've been a listener for a while, and you've given me some great advice and ideas for my Disney trips. My husband and I are headed to Disney World in December. I thought we missed it. In December of 2018. I was scared it was going to say 2017. Our check-in is Friday, December 7th. We have a dinner reservation at California Grill that night at 5 p.m. Is it true we can go back to California Grill to watch the fireworks from the balcony later that night? Thanks, Kevin. Pam, this is your second home, so lay it on them. Let Kevin know.
Yes, and this is available to everyone, not people who dine there once a month like I do. If you have been to the California Grill that day, even if you've gone for lunch when they have the lunch, you can come back and watch the fireworks later that night from their very awesome catwalk. There's actually a few of them that stick out from different parts of that restaurant, so... yep, absolutely. Just save your receipt, come on back, and let them know. You check in on the second floor there, and they'll usher you up to the lovely California Grill so that you can enjoy the fireworks.
And I wish our listeners could see my inbox with the questions, because we get a lot of them, and we get to as many as we can. So here's the one that came in within an hour. It's from Brittany Van Pelt in Wilmington, North Carolina, 630 miles from Pam, by the way. She says, hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. Quick question for you. I have a 9:30 reservation at California Grill on a night where there are 9:15 fireworks. Will they allow us up there to watch the fireworks before we eat? I know you can come back afterwards after you eat, or if you eat early, but I didn't know if the reverse works. Thanks, Brittany. So I think it works both ways, right, Pam? I love that.
It does. Just show up a little early for your reservation, and they will let you dine up there, or let you go up there to see the fireworks. So, yes, enjoy.
All right, next up is Jen in Orland Park, Illinois. I'm headed to the world for a quick 3-day trip in August, and I have a question about my fast passes. On Friday, August 17th, I'm taking advantage of morning extra magic hours at Hollywood Studios. I just want to spend a few hours at the park that morning because my son and I are attending the Halloween party that evening. He's only 5, so I need to make sure he is well rested since we'll be staying up late. You know, that doesn't matter if you're 5 or 44. I mean, if I'm going to the Halloween party, man, I am napping. That's a little commentary there. My plan is to rope drop Slinky Dog Dash and Toy Story Midway Mania. I'm always careful for the that they're going to throw in the alien saucers abbreviation, so I don't want to get the cling rating booted out of here. I'm careful. I have an 8:45 fast pass for, here we go, Swirling Alien Saucers. We can call it that. Let's call it that for now. And that's SAS. That's way
swirling
better.
Swirling alien saucers.
I like that.
Instead of alien, I don't know why they decided to go with alien swirling saucers as the acronym.
Yes. So
but then again, they have Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor. So let's just be honest. That one's not any better.
That's, you know, some like 17-year-old dude's naming these things. I'm just saying, because that's like a high school kid's. Check it out, man. Look what I put on them. Look, I got Disney to put this. Anyway, so let's get back. I have an 8:45 fast pass for Swirling Alien Saucers and 10 p.m. fast pass for Disney Junior Show. Here's my question. Do I have to schedule another fast pass in advance if I want the ability to schedule another Tier 1 attraction that day? There is nothing else my son would be interested in that requires me to use a fast pass to maximize time, and I'm hoping to get him another spin on Toy Story Midway Mania using a fast pass if this is possible. If it's not possible, would I be able to make a fast pass for later that day in the Magic Kingdom? I'm hoping I make sense. Thanks for all you do, especially enabling my Disney addiction. All the best, Jen. All right, Ricky. So does she have to schedule all three to be able to do that? Because she wants to basically get two rides on Toy Story and one
right.
on
okay.
the saucers.
So she does not. Once your first two get used, then you have the ability to make your... the next fast pass for anything that you want. You have to let either use the second fast pass or let it expire, you know, go through and expire. You can't do it like if you've used the first one and then you're still waiting to go on the second one and you want to try to make the third one, then it won't work. It won't let you make that tier one fast pass. So you have to use both in order to be able to do that.
All right.
But I know there was another question, right?
Well, so if she only books two, can she do the third one, the Magic Kingdom, I think is what
Magic
it was.
Kingdom. Yeah, so you're fine. Once you've used the first two fast passes, it basically resets and it'll let you make that fast pass anywhere in the park. And the reason why it does that is basically because you've given up your ability to make your fast pass ahead of time, so now you're really at the mercy of whatever fast passes are available. So that's why it works that way.
I'd say it'd be a challenge to get a Toy Story day of, especially that in August. I think it's gonna be tough.
Probably will be tough.
Hey, yeah. Dreams do come true in the place of Walt Disney World. So yeah, some dreams come true. Maybe not Toy Story Mania fast passes. I'm just saying. I don't know if they put that on a shirt, but just good luck. All right. So time for the last question of the day, but I got to get this one up here because this is super important. Ray in our chat, he says, can you all help me convince my pirate Jackson that I actually booked our spring break trip today? He isn't believing me. All right. Hang on. I'm zooming into me. Hang on. Let's see.
Oh no.
Wait, I hit the wrong button. Let's see. Solo. Here I am. Look, I'm really big. Jackson, come up to the screen. You are going to Walt Disney World. I booked your trip with your dad today. You're going, man. I typed it in. It's set. I promise you.
Exciting.
I'll send you the confirmation. Jackson, send me your 7-year-old email, and I'll send you the confirmation later.
That's awesome.
You're going to Walt Disney World.
You're going to Disney World.
Woo!
How cool is that? I'll be there tomorrow when the show comes out. I'll get it ready for you, Jackson. I'll tell Buzz and Woody to watch out for Jackson. He's a wild pirate. So be careful. Okay, so the last question of the day, I got when you title your email First World Problems, I got to get to it. So here we go. It's from Shantae. Mike and ladies, we're celebrating our 10th wedding anniversary by spending a relaxing 3 nights at Animal Kingdom Lodge Jumbo House without our children. And without is in all caps. Without. I love it. We have the deluxe dining plan and plan to have dinner at Gico, Le Cellier, and California Grill. We also plan to have breakfast at Boma, lunch at Sanaa, and breakfast before rope drop at Crystal Palace for strategic reasons. I like Shantae. You are awesome. You are awesome. Anyway, we are not sold on the menu at California Grill. My question is, does California Grill offer a suitable view of the Happily Ever After castle projections? Would it be better to spend those dining credits elsewhere and watch the fireworks on Main Street? We don't like sweets enough to justify the cost of the dessert party, and we can't do both on separate nights due to such a short stay. All right, so they're not sold on the menu at California Grill. So basically, I think Pam, what she's asking, because again, California Grill equals Pam Forrester. Is it really worth going there if you're not sold on the menu just for the view? I mean, you've seen it. What do you say?
Well, if you're looking for specifically the castle projections, I don't think it's a fantastic view of those projections. You need to be a little closer. And I think for folks who really haven't seen the fireworks a lot or who are really looking for that great view, the best place to see that is of course, right there on Main Street near the hub, and then you'll be able to see those projections. I get it. So maybe you want to use your credit somewhere else. Maybe if that menu doesn't appeal to you, then by all means, move along. I think the menu at times looks a little different than it is in person. But I would say, you already have Gico and Le Cellier. Maybe if you like seafood, throw in Flying Fish there if you're looking for another signature venue. If not, consider breaking it up into two standard venues, maybe if you're using dining credits. There's so many good choices. I don't think you'll go wrong with a lot of them.
All right, she's got one more question to follow up there. She says, my next question is, what is your favorite signature dining experience outside of those that she mentioned? We're not opposed to brunch at California Grill. Do they accept dining plan for brunch? Thanks for all your help, Shantae. All right, so they dining credit, does that work for brunch? Pam, I've never done it. California Grill brunch?
No,
I don't think it does. No. I don't think they're allowing any dining credits for the brunch there. But without that, so you haven't, if you are a steak person, or even if you're not, because they have some great options for those who are not meat eaters. Yachtsman is a great choice. I don't think that was on the list.
Nope.
In addition, Flying Fish is a great choice, and Narcoossee's is a great choice. And the other thing is, you want to look at the menus, head over to the Mouse for Less, where they have all the menus there, Ricky and all the other folks that work on that site. Keep those updated for us.
Team's awesome.
Yeah, they are. They do a great job. And there's also, here's the other thing. Here's the reason why I got to look at the menus on the Mouse for Less, because there's photos, people. There are photos of the item.
Don't go hungry.
Great when you're hungry.
Yeah, don't go hungry. It's brutal. It's brutal.
No, but it is great to be actually able to see it. Like, oh, so that's what the pork looks like. Like, right. I'm going to like that. I know I'm going to like that. So, I mean, that kind of thing. So check out the food photos over there too, along with the menus. But that's what's most important is picking some place that you know you're gonna like. Look at the menus, read them, and pick something that works for you.
Yeah, so I was making Pam listen to the podcast on our walk the other night, the one where we talked about our favorite dining, just to get us, you know, ready for the trip. And Ricky, she's so fired up for that whoopee, not cushion, the whoopee pie.
Yeah, for the whoopee cushion. Yes, for that red velvet whoopie pie.
But she said, though, she thinks that whoopie pies officially have whipped cream between them, not icing. But she's all for the icing. But she thought maybe
I don't know. That's a good question. I think that now, you know, with the foodie time that we're in, any sort of filling in between is acceptable.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I say. I mean, whipped cream or icing, who cares? That's why I said we're getting five.
I know it was icing in the middle.
Yeah, I think originally they were typically like a devil's food and then had like a whipped cream icing, like ho-ho type icing, right?
Yes.
And that's how whoopie pies, like you usually found them in that state. Now, of course, there's every kind of flavor under the sun. Carrot cake and orange and lemon and strawberry and just everything. And the red velvet does sound good. Is it really good red velvet, though? That's the thing that would... Because I'm not really an icing person, but I do like red velvet cake.
So. It's very good red velvet.
We'll have to do some investigating.
I will
eat the icing out of the middle for you, Pam, and you can get red velvet cake. And
that sounds a little gross.
Yes, it sounds very gross.
I have no problems with this. I'm just saying. On Sunday, this is what we're doing.
You know what else, Pam? My wife, Pam, said one thing we have to split. She was looking at reading on her iPad, and it's the churro ice cream sandwich from Sleepy Hollow. Dude, I'm all over that thing. Or it's like, it's a churro, right? Or is it cinnamon?
Yeah,
it's a churro. Yeah.
And if they needed something else that was good there, the line's going to be back to like Haunted Mansion at this point.
Yeah, it is.
Why didn't they have this at like the potato shack that's underneath there?
Potato Shack.
They need to have it at the Tomorrowland Terrace. I mean, they fill that place up.
I'm pretty sure that's not the name of it, Pam, but that should be now.
That's what I call it. Potato Shack. You knew what I was talking about, right?
I didn't know what you're talking about.
All right, we got to get out of here. I got a plane to catch. All right, so don't forget, today's show brought to you by our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News Disney Edition. Ricky, what are we reading about this week?
So we are reading about the long-awaited Terralina Craft in Italian has an official opening date.
Yes.
And guess what? It's this week. It's actually opening on Thursday, which is June 28th. It's inspired by Italy's Lake District and will feature dishes like chicken parmesan, spaghetti pomodoro, and meatballs, rigatoni calabrese, house-made lasagna, wood-fired pizzas, center-cut pork chops, and a catch of the day. It's got a rustic stone fireplace inside, an outdoor patio with veranda bar, two-story glass conservatory that showcases the stunning views of Lake Buena Vista, and it's going to be open every day from 11:30 a.m. until 11 p.m. So it's finally open, people. It took forever.
Yeah, but it's worth it. We'll hope for it.
Seriously, forever. So it should be worth it. Let's hope.
All right. So check that out. Other great stories. Again, Theme Park News Disney Edition, free app for your iOS devices. Grab it today over at virtualmickey.com. That's where you got to go, virtualmickey.com. Don't forget to support the show with our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Thank you so much for that support. And now is the time. If you're not following the social media, I'm telling you, this is the good time.
Yes.
We light it up. So it's at brguestpod. And it's at Be Our Guest Mike. I'll have these ears on at Lambert International Airport tomorrow morning, bright and early. I'm wearing them on the plane down. So it's going to be fun from the get-go. So at Be Our Guest Mike and Facebook.com/Be Our Guest Podcast for lots of live videos as well. All right, so we're going to get out of here and let you get on with your Wednesday. We'll be back again on Friday. We're going to pre-record. We'll be down at the Toy Story, events this weekend. It's going to be madness. It's going to be fun. So follow along, please. But we'll always have the podcast here, so don't worry. We're pre-recording, so you won't miss any shows while we're out of town. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike. Wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to head back to work or to Walt Disney World. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. You know it's a happy Wednesday here because I'm getting ready to head to Walt Disney World to see my friend's buddy. Buddy, that's not right.